following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sapliti.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners. Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I don't know, but our new intro there, man, just fires me up. Dave Hunter, well done. Bernie Siplicki's back in the big seat this morning. Good morning, my good friend.
Good morning, Jeff. How we doing?
Oh, we're like I just said, done. We're living the dream. We're taking everybody with us here. Sports Saturday, every single Saturday from 10 to noon here. Give us a call if you want to join the conversation. 655-6672 is the number to call. 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line to the same number, 802-655-6672. What a show we have today, Bernie. I can't wait to go through the rundown of what's happening now. But, man, this has been some week in sports.
It's been a wild week.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
A lot of cool things.
And sad.
The bad meaning the sad. Yeah. Not a good week for college basketball. You and I are big college basketball fans, you being a former Division I college basketball player, and me being a big-time college basketball fan. Rough week for the NCAA basketball world.
Yeah, it was, no doubt. But, that's something we can get into later because our show is filled with happy, good stuff. The only thing that I'm really a little disappointed in.
Yeah.
Where'd my polka music go, Dave?
Yeah, Dave, changed it up.
I'm going to get the polka back?
I love the polka.
All right, we can do that.
Well, no, we can't. I don't like the polka.
Why?
I mean, so what do you mean? So Bernie says something, and okay, we can do that? I told you when we brought the polka the first time I didn't like the polka. You didn't seem to care about me when we came to that.
That's why we like it.
You just don't like Polish people.
Huh? That's not true. Yeah. Stop doing that. I love the Polish people.
Polish people!
I want some of this. Here's the reason I like the music we have now, is that it kind of jacks me up. It gets me fired up. It gets me going.
It's like an intro on steroids.
It is. It's like getting ready to go here. You know, it's like your walk-up music. We talked about this. Like, when you watch a baseball game or something, introducing number 22,
right?
Bernie Siplicki. What do you want to be playing? You want that polka music to be playing in your background?
Absolutely.
No, you don't.
Be happy.
Now, see, people should see that little dance. You should see that little dance that Bernie Siplicki just did in here. Unbelievable. But let's get into our show today. Really good show. It's good.
I have to give one thanks to Joe Girardi on Friday,
I'll let you get into that later. I'm going to lose my mind on Joe Girardi.
Go ahead. I just want to get
you started. It is a good thing that this show is on Saturdays and it wasn't on Friday morning, because I had a hard time sleeping Thursday night after watching Joe Girardi manage that baseball game.
I didn't. What's the show like? I'm sorry. I got you off.
Interesting thing. So I do, as the owner of Romanto's on Tuesdays, I have this opportunity.
In Williston
at Taft Corners. Yes, in Williston. Thank you very much. I have the opportunity to go on another station locally and give away a pizza, and we do all this fun stuff once a week. And on the radio this past week was State Representative Kurt Wright. And Kurt really wanted to come on Sports Saturday. I mean, we're talking on the air. Here I am on this other station, trying to promote the business. And here's Kurt Wright, State Representative Kurt Wright. He wants to come on the show. So he calls me yesterday and says, hey, I would love to come in and talk some baseball with you and Bernie. So Kurt Wright's going to join us in studio today at 10:20. We're not talking politics.
Will you stop filibustering?
That's right. There's no partisan politics in here. We're just going to talk baseball with Kurt Wright this morning. We're looking forward to that at 10:22. At 10:40, get your fantasy football questions ready. Jake Kent's going to be joining us. We're moving the schedule around because the second half of our show is pretty big for us. So Jake Kent, we're moving up to 10:40, so get your questions ready. You can text them in, which will be great. You can give us a call while he's on the air. And I've told you guys this many times, Jake Kent has helped me win two championships. He's going to help you win a championship, too.
How's he doing for you this year?
Well, he gives me good pointers. I just don't listen half the time, but he's going to join us at 10:40. In the second half of the show at 11:20, as we know, the New England Patriots getting ready to take on the Carolina Panthers. We have the Carolina Panthers radio voice, Mick Mixon, joining us live today to talk a little bit about his Panthers. As the team, the Panthers, they're kind of confusing here. I mean, this is a football team that's got
Cam
all kinds of weapons.
Right.
He doesn't. And there's got a lot of question marks about whether he's healthy or whether he's taken a beating for so long. I mean, he's a young guy,
yeah,
but he's taken such a beating. So it's going to be interesting to get the Panthers' perspective as they get ready to take on the Pats.
And he's a second-time guest for us. The last time he was on was right before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Mick's a great guy. If you remember, I don't know if you remember this now, but Mick, he was out raking his yard and talking to us on the air right before the Super Bowl, which is, you know, that's quite a thing. It was a week before the Super Bowl, so we talked to Mick. He's going to join us again. And then at 11:40, we talked to our old friend Jason Zillow. He's the director of media relations for the Yankees.
Oh, what a shock.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. What a Yankee guest. They're making a run.
Oh, come on.
Here we go.
I mean, the thing about you, Bernie, is that you just get so annoyed at that. You get so annoyed you can bring it. I mean, the Yankees are kind of an interesting topic. This is a big guy in the Yankee organization. I mean, it's not just about the Yankees and how they're running, but you know how they're getting towards the playoffs. But
who do you like?
I like the Yankees.
Who do you like, Dave?
I like polka music.
Okay, how about for baseball?
I like the Yankees.
Oh, what a shock.
So you think? But I booked Jason Zillow like a while ago. I thought the Red Sox would have wrapped this thing up by now when I booked Jason
Zillow. Yankees would be in prime.
Oh, Joe Girardi.
So tell me,
I love the Yankees.
Sure.
So tell me, I'm confused that it's down to one.
Yeah.
Or the magic number's to one, and
it
really
should
it should be
one.
Two,
because
what happened the other night?
Well, I mean, the reality here is that I feel that Joe Girardi has really... I'm going to say this, but I'm going to premise by saying what I've been saying all year, that I still think the Yankees are playing with house money. It's been a lot of fun.
Dude, there are five teams that make the playoffs in the American
Understood.
League.
Understood.
And five of them are... you're above 500.
No,
you're in the playoffs. It's a joke.
Oh, come on. The Yankees are... I agree, but the Yankees are a 90-win baseball team.
I'm saying the playoff format, I mean...
No, but still, going into this season as a Yankee fan, I could... I mean, I know Dave can't. You know, Dave thinks they're going to win 162 games every year.
Because he's a true,
That's not
true,
true.
Yankee
that
fan.
Is, I am a true Yankee
no,
fan,
th-
my
this,
friend.
This guy...
No. Dave is like the pie-in-the-sky Yankee fan.
Yes.
I am the realistic Yankee fan that will call them out when I think they need to be called out.
So you were realistically wrong this season.
No, I was wrong. No, I wasn't.
Yes,
no,
because you thought you just said they're playing with house money.
The expectation.
Now, what are you two idiots doing?
The expectation going into this season, quite simply, was that the Yankees were, you know, they're putting a lot of kids out there. There were a lot of question marks coming out of spring training. Their pitching staff was up in the air. Their bullpen was up in the air, for the exception of what we expected, that Chapman would be the all-star that we expected of him, which he wasn't most of the season, but he seems to be now. We expected a lot out of Dellin Betances, and he struggled towards the end. But the point is, on paper, the Yankees looked like a very young, inexperienced team that was just trying to get themselves in a position. So when a lot of the money came off the books, like the CC Sabathias and A-Rod's money finally comes off the books, you know, you had an opportunity to be able to go get some guys, but you have this nucleus of core young guys that would have a couple years to develop. Now this Yankee team looks like a team that could compete and win a championship, but Joe Girardi continues to keep putting his foot in the way. And this last Thursday night's a perfect example of that.
And what did he do on Thursday?
Okay, I was going to tell you that. See, okay. I was in a better mood. I had a good fruit cup this morning. Now you're going to do this now. Now you got to get me mad again. And that's what I do. I look up and I think, now tonight, you know, the Yankees are still in this thing, but they should be one out with two to play. They really should be. They should be in a position right now that if Boston would continue to lose, which is a chance, they have a good chance to do that. Houston's a great baseball team.
And they're
that they
trying
can win
to get
the division
home field.
On Sunday. Exactly. They could win this division on Sunday.
That's a shame.
It's annoying. But anyway, I will tell you. You're going to let me tell you? You're going to keep interrupting me.
Well, I mean, you've kind of been going off on a tangent here.
Essentially,
I want to make sure.
Essentially, you look, okay, Thursday night around the Yankees were in the fifth inning. You look up at the scoreboard and Boston's getting pummeled by Houston. So you realize, and you're up 4-1 in the fifth inning. Sonny Gray did not have it. If you're a Yankee fan and watch the game, you could see Sonny Gray was struggling the whole game. The game gets to be within 4-3. He keeps Sonny Gray out there, gives up a two-run home run. Now Tampa Bay's up 5-4. He decides to take him out, and instead of bringing in one of his superstar relievers that he's got in the bullpen, he decides to bring in this guy, Jonathan Holder, a young pitcher who's gotten one guy out all season. And he goes out and with two outs, gives up three more runs. Now you're down 8-4.
That's a shame.
The Yankees come out and get one run back. They get it within 8-5. He brings out Chasen Shreve, which is, a young guy that's probably up and coming, but not the kind of guy you need in this game. He gets the first two guys out. Tampa brings in another guy, brings up Plouffe, a right-handed hitter. He keeps Shreve out there. He's got Canely, who's a fireballing, one of his best relievers, waiting. Shreve gives up a home run. It's 9-5 now, and then basically the game is over. So essentially, Joe Girardi decides he's going to bring out these guys that are not the guys in a game where you really have a chance to win. And all Joe Girardi has been telling his fan base is that, hey, we're trying to win. We're trying to catch the Red Sox. Well, if you're trying to catch the Red Sox and you're down one run in the fifth inning, why would you bring in a Jonathan Holder when you have a guy like Canely sitting there? Maybe you bring in David Robinson. I don't care who you bring in there. Just you bring in one of those power arms to get you through the inning and try to win the baseball game. Because you probably would have won the baseball game if that's the case. But that's not what he does. He did the same thing in Toronto last Sunday. The Yankees were down 5-1. He decides to bring in these young kids that are not proven, that have struggled all season at the major league level. Toronto scores 4 more runs. What do the Yankees do? The Yankees score 4 more runs and get that game respectable, but because Joe Girardi basically quit on the game when it was 5-1, the Yankees end up not having a chance to win. That's what drives me crazy. And I will say this finally. If the Yankees win the next 2 games and the Red Sox lose the next 2 games and the Yankees play the Red Sox in that play-in game, which we can talk about whether that's cool or not anyway, on Monday and lose that game, the Yankees are in a real problem. And the Red Sox would be as well if they were to lose that game. But now all of a sudden you've put this team in a position where if you don't win the rest of these games, you're really putting yourself with your back against the wall in that wild card game. That's just unfortunate to me. The Yankees had a chance to do this. It should be 1 game today.
Bernie, is your mic working over there?
I'm just telling you. That's what I'm mad at. Now I'm off my pet. Now I feel better because I can get it out. Not that Joe Girardi can hear me at all, but
sounds like you have mental problems, man.
You're on fire with the computer today, by the way, as well.
That could have been...
I'm ranting.
The most enjoyable 7 minutes I have ever sat in.
I am so annoyed at Joe Girardi. I'm so annoyed at him. I don't get what he was thinking. And listen, I even tweeted Michael Kay. I tweeted the Yankee play-by-play announcer Michael Kay. He didn't get back to me. But I tweeted at him and said, what the hell is this guy doing right now? Right in the middle of the game. I'm like, and how are you not saying anything about it?
It's kind of like what everybody's tweeting about you right now.
Yeah, nobody's tweeting about me.
What the heck is this guy doing right now?
I'm being honest. As a Yankee fan, I don't know what he's doing. So even if the Yankees are to do this, and it would be unprecedented, it'd be a crazy story if they were to figure, and it's a long shot, because now today Toronto pitches Stroman, who's a very good pitcher. He pitches very well against the Yankees. Even the Yankees have had some success this year against him, but he's had a big year. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and the Yankees are pitching Jaime Garcia, who's struggled since he's joined the Yankees, so it'll be interesting to see what happens today. But when you look at the Red Sox matchup with Houston, I mean, Houston is one of the best teams in the majors. They're throwing power arms at you every day, and Boston's not hitting the ball. You have a real chance here.
Right.
You have a real chance, but now the Yankees have put themselves in this position that, it's unfortunate. I think Joe Girardi put them there.
Yeah, and it's from a Red Sox perspective, you know, if the lead gets the one, do you pitch Sale on Sunday?
That's a great question.
You know, you got to do that. And then I just don't like the fact that if they end up tied, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, because the Yankees had the upper hand.
11-8 this season.
You know, why do they have to play a 20th game when they've already played 19 and it's 11-8?
It's silly.
It is, but again, I go back to what Joe. I mean, for the Red Sox, for them not to be able to clinch this thing, and if they were to lose the next 2 games, that would be terrible for the Boston Red Sox. And have to pitch Sale is obviously a problem. It'll be Sale against Severino on Monday, which would be an unbelievable game.
Well, no. What if Sale pitches Sunday?
Oh, Sale would have to pitch Sunday. That's exactly right. That's right. He wouldn't have to, but he'd have to.
Well, but you could roll the dice, and maybe the Yankees lose, and you win, and then you say. And you don't even, it's crazy.
Well, we're gonna break this down next segment with Kurt Ray, but I do want to bring this up. You're not going to believe it. Guys, pay attention here now. Our station, 101.3 ESPN, is looking for the ultimate Boston sports fan. The listener will get tickets to the Celtics, Bruins, and Patriots for the same weekend. This is my dream on the New York side, however. This is unbelievable.
You want no part of this.
Well, no, listen, but even I would love this. Boston's a great city, so I would love to do this. But anyway, our lucky listener that wins will get tickets on the same weekend to watch the Celtics, the Bruins, and the Patriots on the same weekend. Also, we're going to give you hotel and spending money so we can, and all of our, that's thanks all of to all of our friends at Mortgage Financial. We're going to do this the weekend of the games, or the weekend of last weekend of November, the Patriots games on December 1st. We're looking for caller 7 right now. Call 655-6672, 802-655-6672. Call right now. Be caller number 7 and qualify to win this amazing package, all brought to you by your friends at Mortgage Financial. We'll be right back.
Hello, baby!
Wake up!
Oh, okay. I suppose that's how they say good morning in Cuckoo Town.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We just gave away the ultimate Boston sports fan package, and John Griffin qualified to win. Congratulations, John from Westford. Congrats. Keep paying attention here. You're going to have all kinds of chances to win this week. It's pretty good. It's an amazing prize we're giving away here, so make sure you're paying attention. But John Griffin qualified today, so congratulations, buddy.
You know what's funny?
What?
Bernie's out looking for our next guest out in the parking lot.
Yeah, I know it.
And he missed his polka song.
He played his music. Perfect. Perfect. Play it when he's not here.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, better would be play it when I'm not here. That would be a lot better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you missed your polka song.
Yeah, no, Bernie. Yeah, Bernie's back in here with Representative Kurt Wright joining us in studio. Good morning, sir.
How are you?
All right, good to see you. Let's get you all set up here. Get his earbuds in. Get a chair ready.
The mic there.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing, Dave.
Oh, okay.
So we were just talking. So, Kurt, good morning, my man. It's good
How
to see you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm
Thanks
glad you made it. It was really nervous. I got nervous. I was like, geez, I hope he can. First of all, I have to say this before we go into baseball. I've been trying to get the governor on this show for months, and I keep getting the runaround. Can you help? Can
you said no politics talk when he was coming
in. No, there's no politics. I just want to talk to the governor. I want to talk about, I want him to talk sports with me.
Well,
I mean, can we get any poll here?
First of all, you got me. I don't think you need to worry about
that. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Right, Bernie?
Yes, sir. You're in studio.
Listen,
you're
I think that'll be about the last time Bernie agrees with me. This morning.
You guys go way back, from what I understand. Like old buddies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We probably can't talk about any of those
stories. Probably not.
It's not election year, is it? We don't want to be talking about
it. I was just talking
it.
Off the air with him as we came in, though.
Yeah, about... About some good times we've had together back in the day.
It did look like you two hooligans coming in here, like hustling in here real quick as the door opened.
Well, he doesn't know where he's going, but we don't get that.
The police were scoping me out.
I can imagine. So, Kurt, listen, we were just talking. I don't know if you heard our first day, but I just kind of went on my Joe Girardi rant. And I mean, I feel better now. I'm glad. I do feel better. Like, I've had that pressure on me for a couple of days to get out of my system, and I was able to get my Joe Girardi frustration out.
That's right.
Let's see
too.
Yeah, look at this. Yeah, I'll rise for the judge. I like the T-shirt. But interesting, let's get into baseball here a little bit, because I know you're a big baseball fan, definitely a baseball junkie, Yankee fan, which is always good.
Absolutely.
You like the Yankees?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good.
Got my vote, baby.
So
Bernie and I are together on the New York Giants.
Yes.
Not on baseball, though.
Yeah. Boy, we don't want to talk about the New York Giants either.
0-3.
Terrible. That football team is an embarrassment. We're going to talk about football next segment, but I'm going to tell you what, that's bad.
Got a great quarterback, but nothing else.
Please, great quarterback.
Offensive line, not too good.
Yeah.
Running game.
Discipline, not too good.
Two out of five ain't bad.
Punter, ain't too good.
Yeah.
A lot of things
quarterback,
ain't too good.
Very good.
Quarterback's average.
I got a little love.
I made a great comeback in the fourth quarter the other day.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Anyway, we're not talking about that.
Back to baseball.
All right, so let's get into baseball here. So the Yankees, obviously, right now, they're two games out with two to play. Tanaka strikes out 15 people yesterday. They get a huge 4-0 win. Boston falls to Houston. Boston had a lot of opportunities to win that game last night. Didn't find a way to get that done, which I was kind of shocked. I thought the bloop single was coming, which would have ended up having Boston get the win. But as I was saying before we went to break, Kurt, Joe Girardi, to me, blew this thing for the Yankees on Thursday night. I totally believe it. I think he blew it on Thursday night. I mean, and even if the Yankees are to put themselves in a position now to have this play-in game on Monday, they really are kind of, you're almost in a position where you really have to win. Now you really have to win the next three. You have to win all these games now, or it's basically, you're putting yourself in a real problem going into that wild card game if you don't win.
Jeff, you're right. Bernie's not right.
Right.
I just laughed at his rant. I'm not saying he wasn't right.
All right, but he's right. He's right, because I was watching the game the other night, and my wife could tell you that I was going, what are you doing, Girardi? Yeah. It's the division's still there. It was a bit of a long shot, but if you start playing it through, it's like Red Sox are getting creamed tonight.
Yeah.
We're down a run, but it's only the fifth inning.
Right.
And you don't go to a reliever who has not one of your prime relievers.
How about a reliever that's done nothing all year, essentially?
Right, and who was sent down to the minor leagues
and
called back up. Especially when you've got premier relievers.
He wants to see if he's ready to stand, in the heat of the kitchen of the playoffs.
Holder's not going to be anywhere near a playoff appearance.
This guy will be selling the hot dogs.
Not
when
you've
got
Chad Green and Dave Robertson and Chapman and on and on.
And
Adam
Kainley.
Warren back now. Holder's not going to sniff a playoff appearance or even be on the team. So why you would use him in that? I mean, think of it now, like you said, is if they had won that game, I mean, they're now... there's incredible pressure on the Red Sox. We're one behind them with two to play.
Of course.
And the noose starts tightening a little bit. As it is, I think the Red Sox are tightening up because, you know, if they don't win today and the Yankees win, they're going right down to the last day to clinch this division.
And I agree with everything you're saying. But let's just be real. Let's say that it falls in the Yankees' favor. And I mean this. It falls in the Yankees' favor. The Yankees win today and tomorrow. Boston loses today and tomorrow. And now you're facing a one-game, basically, playoff to see who wins the East.
That shouldn't even be played because
Agreed.
The Yankees won the season series 11-8 and should win the division outright.
But it doesn't matter because that's not, I mean,
But it does matter because the rule is bad.
I agree the rule's bad, but the rule's not going to be changed.
Right.
But that's
true.
I think
I would have to disagree a little bit, Bernie.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. Because winning the division is too important to have based on a tiebreaker of who won
even
more
though,
games?
But they played 19 times.
Even though you played 19 times and you're going to have two teams that won over 90 games.
Even though it favors the Yankees because it's too important to have decided by the record between the teams in the season. I think you have to have a one-game playoff. I agree with that.
Well, regardless of whether we agree or don't agree, it's not going to change anything because it's going to happen
potentially.
But my point about Girardi is, yes, the Red Sox need to implode for this all to happen. But the Yankees, if the Red Sox do implode, and if this ends up happening, the Yankees could have won the American League East on Sunday,
right.
And now you'd be going into an ALCS loaded and ready to go. The Red Sox would be going in. You know, you would the Yankees or the Red Sox are potentially facing now. If the Red Sox, here's the deal: if the Red Sox implode, they deserve it. If the Red Sox can't hold a 5-game lead with what was it, 7 to play,
five up on Sunday.
They deserve to have some struggles. But for the Yankees, they had a chance to maybe do this when you look at it, and he makes those decisions. He did the same thing last Sunday against Toronto up in Toronto, down 5-1. What'd he do? He goes to these pitchers that he knows aren't capable of getting big outs, and they end up losing. They're down 9-1, but they end up coming back. He quits on games, and that's what drives me crazy.
No, I mean, the Yankees have been playing great baseball over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and he's a couple of times gotten in the way of potential victories that would have had them right with Boston. And, yeah, you don't want to have a playoff game.
Right.
Because you'd want to win the division outright and not
exactly.
have to face that playoff game. So
interesting. It's mind-blowing to me.
The playoff game on Monday, what, the wild card game on Tuesday, and then you start Thursday?
I mean,
whoever survives that?
I mean, either Houston or Cleveland.
I mean,
like,
how does the
they want this
right,
to happen.
But I'm, and Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota,
why,
too,
why
sure. And
Why wouldn't Minnesota want that to happen?
Well, go ahead.
Right now, there's no question Bernie's right. Minnesota is loving this. They would like to see the Yankees
and the Red Sox tie.
End up tied, absolutely. But that's just the way it is. I mean, Minnesota, of course.
And that's why it's ridiculous.
Oh, I don't agree with that. No, of course Minnesota is going to root for this. And that's just the way it is always. If you're the team you might be playing, you want them to be dragged out as long as it can possibly go.
655-6672. If you want to join the conversation, you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. So this one game wild card game. I read a very interesting article in the New York Post this week about what they do in the Korean Baseball League. So what the biggest argument is right now is that the Yankees are a 90-win baseball team. And Minnesota is obviously what's Minnesota, like 8 or 9 games behind the Yankees?
They're the fifth team in the American League that's above 500 and will get in the playoffs. It's great.
Oh, stop. So basically what he said, this guy says that what they should do in Korea is if the two teams that are playing for one game, if it's more than a 4-game lead, you've got two teams, they play 2 games at home,
right.
Which means that Minnesota would have to go to New York and win 2 games, and the Yankees have to win 1 because they feel as if the Yankees, being a more dominant team, deserve the benefit of the doubt, and they thought that would be maybe a better way to do the wild card game.
I do like that.
I thought that was very interesting.
I do like that.
Yeah. And we, as Yankee fans, we love that.
I think it's more of a, well, whoever is in the second wild card, there should be more of a disadvantage than they have right now. I mean,
totally agree.
Even though it's in Yankee Stadium, 2 years ago, the Yankees were in Yankee Stadium too, and they lost 3-0.
Well, the last two games in New York, they were wild card games. The Mets got beat last season.
The bottom line is that when you're in a one game situation, one game playoff, the worst team in baseball can beat the best team on any given day.
No question.
I mean, you could have a couple lucky breaks go the wrong way for the other team. You could have your pitcher gives up a couple of long balls in the first inning, and you're down and you're out. Yeah.
The manager puts the wrong people in. You know the bullpen.
And that
will
probably happen.
Exactly. Well, he won't do that. Well, no, he won't do that in the playoff game.
Or either that, or what he'll do is he'll be afraid to take somebody out in the fifth, like he did the other day with Sonny Gray. Now you could see Sonny Gray didn't have it all day, But he let them stay out there, and next thing you know, you're down 5-4.
I think you are. I think you're going to see everybody. Everybody is on call.
I'll believe it when I see it, Kurt. I'll believe it when I see that.
How about the nickname Ronnie Bleepin' Torres? Huh? Did that happen? Reminds me of 1978.
Here's my prediction. You're going to see. You're going to see a big contribution from Greg Bird.
Oh yeah, he's got to be in the lineup every day. There's no question. Now, Aaron Judge, is he the MVP?
For me, he is.
No, he's got to be the MVP.
But it's going to boil down to between him and Jose Altuve from Houston pretty clearly. But Judge leads the league, if not baseball, in at least five different categories.
He needs to be the MVP.
Home runs, runs scored.
Walks. His slugging percentage is unbelievable. He's hitting in the 280. And let me say this. The Yankees wouldn't be where they are without him. I got to find this stat. I took a picture of it during the week because I know Bernie would get in my kitchen, but he's played so well that. Hang on, I just got to find a stat. So they broke down.
Welcome to New York Yankees talk radio.
Saturday. Oh, stop it. It's intriguing to talk about.
We've only been talking about it since 10 o'clock this morning.
Listen, well, now, Jeff, while you're looking for that.
Time. We got to be talking about it.
Well, I can't find it. But anyway, people's argument was that Aaron Judge was kind of he wasn't around. I mean, he looked like he was lost for about a month and a half.
He did.
But the last four MVPs, they went through what their stats were for periods of the season, and they were like, you know, like Dustin Pedroia, I think, did Dustin Pedroia win an MVP?
Yes.
Okay, so there was a point in time where he hit like 220 for like a month. You know, like everybody goes through their little slumps just to kind of show. And they're the last four, like Mike Trout had one, and there's a bunch of them. I'll try to find that stat before the show's over. But to me, I think Aaron Judge has got to be the MVP. Well, I mean, Altuve's had a big year. The kid from Cleveland's had a big year. But nobody's done what Aaron Judge has done. He's carried his baseball
team. Well, the proof of it is in the fact that when he was down, the Yankees were down.
It's true.
When he carried them for the first 2 months, and if he didn't have those first two to 2.5 months, the Yankees wouldn't have gone out and made the trades they did to see if they could win this thing. It's because of Aaron Judge. And then they stumbled along with his stumbles. And now that he's back having an incredible last month plus, the Yankees are rolling again. So yeah. Altuve has had an incredible year. Some sports writers are talking about him winning on the basis of his consistency. But I think Judge has been, and Altuve's had an incredible year.
He's a great player.
You know, 24 home runs on his own right, but I think when you look at the whole package, I mean, you got to go. I think Judge's
and Yankee Stadium isn't.
Yeah, but Judge hits him like 700.
It doesn't
feet.
Matter.
It does. There's no cheapies doesn't. With Judge. There's no cheapies
rarely,
with Judge.
Rarely,
no
rarely.
Cheapies with Judge.
Rarely.
You can't call one stadium a bandbox and the other one not.
I didn't say Yankee Stadium wasn't, but the reason Altuve has 24 home runs is because of Houston. I'm just telling you,
the other thing that's amazing when you think back, it's hard to think back to this and even believe this, that 6 months ago, we didn't know if Judge was going to make the team.
Exactly.
I mean, Judge was
Aaron Hicks.
Girardi hadn't decided if he was going to go. If he went with Aaron Hicks, he was sending Judge back to the minor leagues.
Yeah.
You want to talk about David Ortiz?
How much we miss him? Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. But Judge had not made the team.
Yeah.
And here he is now with incredible. When he made the team, I kind of said, hey, if he hits 265, 270, 275 with 25 or so, drives in 75, 80 runs, and it plays a decent right field, I'm happy. We got a decent right fielder for the next 10 years. I did not dream that he was going to hit 50 plus home runs, 115 or so RBI, score close to 130 runs. Not only that, he stole 9 bases on top of it.
Exactly.
Great field.
And also walks. He's got, I mean, Bernie's over there rolling his eyes, and that's fine. But that's reality.
But on top of all it, a great, great guy.
He is. He's a great kid.
Yes.
I won't deny
that.
Yeah, he's a great kid. Well, listen.
He's hard. I like to watch him bat.
Oh,
That really does.
Must watch TV. Yes.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're talking. Get your fantasy. I can talk about this all day.
No,
people
kidding,
know
you
that.
Have.
Well, stop it. Anyway, we're talking fantasy football with our fantasy football guru, Jake Kent. Get your calls in now. Get ready to answer. He's going to answer all your questions for week 4. Don't go anywhere.
Deep to left. Yastrzemski will not get his home run.
And look at that Yankees.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We have moved our buddy Jake Kent up an hour, which I think is good. You know, a little fresher for Jake,
well,
you know?
I appreciate the flexibility on Jake's behalf.
Jake's the man. He's the man. And he knows his stuff. So if you have any fantasy football questions here for week four, and listen, I have plenty because my team's 0-3. Okay?
So is mine.
My team is 0-3, which means I'm in this league called the Feathered Earring League, and if I finish in last place of this league, I got to wear this feather earring at every major holiday or any picture it's taken of me for the whole year. I have to have this earring in
that's
my ear.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool. So I have to have this big, I'll be the feather earring guy after 2 years of winning this thing. So get your calls ready right
and
now.
And it would go well with your hair.
It be quiet. 802-655-6672 if you want to have any questions for Jacob. But again, we have the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Get those questions coming in now because Jake Kent is live with us right now on the TikTok Jewelry guest line. What's going on, Jake?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Well, I hope you heard my dilemma here. I'm 0-3 in my the Feathered Earring League, and if I finish in last place, you know the problem is I have to wear this earring, you know, in every family picture, holiday picture, when I'm on vacation, every picture that's taken of me, I have to have this feather earring in my ear.
I like it. That's a good league punishment. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So, real quick, I totally agree with you on this whole Yankees issue. And I love the new intros. I just wanted to say I caught both this morning, and both were fantastic.
Thank you, and thank Dave for the intros. He's in charge of that. And thanks for
so
for,
good.
And thanks again. It's always good to have somebody agree with me because it doesn't happen
he's
much on the show.
That we have, he's got to know the Sox have the Astros, the best team in baseball for a series, and that it's totally alive late last week. Totally in it. Yeah.
Jake, I was really hoping that we would get off the 40-minute Yankee rant. You're killing me right now.
Yeah, we're going to get to Jake here, but let me say this to you. Like, what kind of Yankee rant? I've been all over Joe Girardi this morning. I'm not like giving you some, like, we're not playing the Yankee
theme song. I just said
song.
A 40-minute Yankee rant.
Okay.
I didn't say whether it was positive or negative.
It wasn't overdone. It was perfectly listenable. It was very enjoyable. So.
All right, Jake. Go ahead.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, I'm going to go right to our listeners' questions right now. I got one. They just came in. Blake Bortles or Carson Wentz this week?
Yeah, I like Blake Bortles a lot this week. Yeah, roll with him. He looked a little better, obviously, so let's go with it.
Is Jesse James a starter, or should I look elsewhere for a tight end?
Yeah, I would probably look elsewhere. I know he had a couple touchdowns week one, and it is Pittsburgh, but you know Big Ben on the road is never great. It seems to make Antonio Brown better when Big Ben's not great, but everybody else tends to suffer a little bit. So he's just not really a big part of that offense and the way they draw things up. So I would probably look for a guy, a guy I like a lot this week is Austin Seferian Jenkins back from suspension last week. Jacksonville allows about 125 yards every week to a tight end from any team. So he's going to get opportunities. It's the third most in the league yards given up. So I think Austin Seferian Jenkins is probably available just about everywhere, and I'd rather run with a guy like that.
Jake, are you in a bad position, right? Because you're kind of sound like you're in a tunnel. Are we on a speakerphone right now?
You know, you're not in a tunnel. I'm not in a tunnel. I am in the Toys R Us parking lot because I had to bring my 9-month-old to Toys R Us.
Okay. No problem at all. We'll fight through it. Okay. Another one just came in. Ryan Griffin or Jack Doyle?
Oh, that's a good one. Griffin, especially if it's a PPR.
It is a PPR league, so yes. So yeah, Ryan Griffin's
definitely
your guy?
Griffin, then. Those targets got to go somewhere.
All right.
Actually, another guy I like a lot this week is Will Fuller is back from his collarbone injury. Tennessee gives up an enormous amount of yardage, like 275 yards a game through the air. Every week they've given up at least 80 yards to one receiver. They're not great against the tight end. Wideouts are averaging like 27 points. Each week against Tennessee, so I love Will Fuller, and in that same vein, I love Griffin, too, because other than Hopkins, someone has to catch the ball. It's probably going to be Griffin.
We're talking to Jake Kent, our fantasy football guru, live from the Toys R Us parking lot in Williston, if you're in this case you're wondering. Get your questions in here on the text line, 802-655-6672, the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Jake will answer your questions, or you can call us as well, 802-655-6672. Bernie, you got a question for him.
Yeah, we got a question. Marcus Mariota or Matt Stafford?
You know, I think I'm going to lean. Oh, that's a good one, too. These are good questions this morning. I'm going to stick it out with Stafford. I know things were a little bit quiet last week, but he looked really good overall. Give me Stafford.
I just got a personal text from Mike from Colchester. He wants to know Wentz or Roethlisberger?
I'm kind of off Big Ben this week. I'm not into Big Ben on the road, really. He just has not been good. It's a big enough sample size now that it's not just a fluke. Yeah, I go with Wentz.
And we got a PPR question. I need three of four. Who do you sit? Garcon, Pierre Garcon, Sanu, Kelvin Benjamin, or Cooper Kupp?
No, I'm sitting Kelvin Benjamin, and that probably sounds weird given the expectations for him each season, but Cam Newton completing just like barely 50% of his passes going back to midway through last year. I know you guys are talking to the play-by-play guy later in the show. I'd love to hear his take on this issue. The completion percentage is just struggling to such a point that I'm just out on the Panthers until I see something different. So give me the other three.
Dennis from Georgia just put on our text line here, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton, or Derek Carr?
Yeah, I said again, we're kind of off Cam. Wentz and Carr are both good starts, but Carr in Denver, no thank you. Especially after last week where they just looked terrible. I mean, Crabtree and Cooper both got nothing going. Washington's not that good, and they looked awful. So give me a week pause on Derek Carr. I'm sure we'll get things together. I really like him a lot. But I'll go with Wentz instead.
Another question on the Town Fair Tire text line here, 802-655-6672. Watson or Rivers this week under center?
Rivers. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot. That's what we call a funnel defense. They're strong up front. It's going to be a high-scoring game. Give me Rivers.
Jake, talk to us about all these young guys that have come in and made a splash in the world of fantasy, especially at the running back area.
It's amazing, right? Like we haven't really seen this in the past, and every year coming in, there's some rookie tight end or some rookie running back who everybody's high on, and generally speaking, my rule has been I don't want much to do with them, given the hype. They typically get overdrafted, they're overvalued, and you have to draft them very early to get them, but to humble brag here a little bit, when we talked back on National Fantasy Football Day, Jonathan was the one guy you can't leave your draft without if you want to win a championship. And the answer was Kareem Hunt, who has immediately come in and just been out of this world in that Kansas City offense. So it's pretty interesting. I think mostly what we're seeing is they end up in really advantageous situations, right? So with Joe Mixon, now we're seeing him start to take off. That's a situation where there's just not a lot of talent, and that offense is going to give him volume. In the case of Kareem Hunt, he has Andy Reid. Andy Reid running backs historically are just always very productive. He's going to game plan for them. He's going to use them correctly. So I think overall, we won't see this really happen, I think, in most cases. But there happen to be some really talented guys in some really advantageous situations. And Kareem Hunt's going to be a league winner. I mean, that guy's out of this world. He has more rushing yards than, like, 20 teams in the league on his own. So it's pretty amazing.
Jake, we got a couple more questions on our Town Fair Tire text line. First is Jay Ajayi or Mike Gillisley as a flex?
Ajayi, you got to go with the volume there.
And Cody just gave us a note here on the Town Fair Tire text line. Do I play Blunt again this week, or do I go with Buck Allen?
Buck Allen. Yeah, we've been talking about Buck Allen for a few weeks now. I think we started talking about him week one or week two. I like him a lot in that offense. He was down a bit last week. That game was just absurd in London. So I think he'll be back to getting 17, 18 carries at least to try and throw him the ball a few times. He should be okay. Buck Allen for me.
And then I got another one that just came in here. C.J. Anderson or Chris Hoagie Holgan for his flex?
Do we know if it's a PPR by chance?
He's not letting me. You can text me again. There's no name on here, but if you want to let me know if it's a PPR, I don't know that.
If it's a PPR, then you're probably not going to go with C.J. Anderson. So it's pretty close otherwise, but give me PPR, go with the receiver in this case.
Jake, we got like a couple minutes left. So who's the guy everyone's got to pick up this week?
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned a few of them. I think Austin Safari and Jenkins at tight end is a great play. I think that Wilson, again, given how much Deshaun Watson is improving week to week and given the matchup, I think that Will Fuller is a guy that off receiver you could definitely go out and get. And I think if you're looking for a running back, everybody was bummed, of course, when David Johnson, the best back in the league, got hurt. Everybody ran out and spent all of their fantasy budget or their waiver wire pick picking up Kerwin Williams. It turns out he's not the guy, which I think that's disappointing to a lot of folks, but it looks like the guy's going to be Andre Ellington. He's still widely available. So I think that if you need a running back, Andre Ellington is a guy who we've seen over the years is not exactly dynamic, we'll say, but the Niners are allowing 22 points, a game to running backs. It's the sixth most in the NFL. They're bottom four in the league. And in efficiency, about 30th in what we call our net efficiency metric. So not good is basically what the 49ers are against running back. So I think Andre Ellington's a guy who I would be more than happy to go out and get and start at running back.
So, Jake, listen, we have like a minute left. So how do people follow you throughout the week?
Yeah, I mean, find me on Twitter at JakeKentVT, and feel free to ask questions anytime, and I get to them typically.
Jake, my man, enjoy Toys R Us. I hope all works out over there, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. Sorry for the technical problem. We built a new house, and we just moved in, and that means I have nothing I need, apparently.
So. Oh, nice. Well, that's right. And you're at the most important place, Toys R Us, so that's good.
Apparently,
that's
yes.
All good. Have a great week, Jake. Thanks,
thanks
so much.
Jake.
Thanks, guys.
I'm 0-3. I'm 0-3, Burn. I got to make a change. I got to do something better. I got to get back on the wagon.
I wish Ben McAdoo would take your approach.
Exactly. And stop talking and making up nicknames like the Duke and all this garbage. But my players aren't pretending they're dogs and peeing on fields either. I'm not allowing that. None of my players are doing that on my fantasy football team. I'm not allowing it.
That's good.
I'm just saying.
Because you don't have Odell.
Who's your favorite actor of all time?
Morgan Freeman.
Okay, mine's Bill Murray. And I got great news about Bill Murray next segment. We'll be right back.
Listen to us talk sports. The huge egos, the big salaries, the superstar demands. And that's just our hosts. 101.3 ESPN.
Phone call. Monica from Williston.
I don't think I could have married Don Hoffman. And would it hurt for you to say that you love me once in a while? Yeah.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife. Right there. She wants to down. She, you know, it's great.
See how easy obtaining the right mortgage for you can be. Call Vermont Mortgage Company today at 802-863-2020. That's 863-2020. Or visit them online at vermontmortgagecompany.com. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters.
And you're on!
You know, you just played that little thing with the fake Monica, you know, yelling at me.
You mean the fake
I got a great
thing?
Story about Monica. I'll tell it really, really quick. So last night we were talking about the show, and she said, did something happen in college basketball? And I said, yeah, you know, all these things come down, and that Louisville had fired Rick Pitino, and there were other people in the room. We were having this conversation, and I said, you know, Louisville might get the death penalty. And my wife looks at me and says, they're going to kill Rick Pitino over that? And I go, what? She's like, I can't believe, like, what did he do? And I said, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't. I love your wife too much to...
She's too funny. Yeah. She cracks me up, that girl. Hey, my favorite actor of all time, Bill Murray.
Okay.
Best...
All time?
He really is one
Bill
of my favorites.
Bill Murray?
I really like Bill Murray. Yeah. He's funny. He's funny. He yes. has plays great, great characters. Yes. And there was a big article I heard read this week
just,
that there...
You just liked him in Space Jam.
I liked him in Space Jam. My favorite, obviously, is Caddyshack.
Wow. He
was so... Caddyshack was great.
Groundhog Day.
Another classic. Yeah. But anyway... He is one of the guys you're looking at to play Joe Madden in a movie they're going to make about the Cubs championship. I guess there's a movie potentially being made in Hollywood about the Cubs winning the championship after, you know, however long it took.
They should have the guy who, the foul ball guy.
No way. Bill Murray. That, I'm telling you, Bill Murray as the manager, this Bill Madden, that's awesome. Favorite Bill Murray movie for me, Caddyshack. How about you? Goonga?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to top that. I was a big Groundhog Day fan.
Yeah, it's a good
personally,
movie, too.
Space Jam, I thought he was pretty funny.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, yeah. And I'll tell you something else. If you ever go back, if you're just bored and you want to laugh, YouTube old Saturday Night Lives, when he was on that show, Dan Aykroyd was on that show. I mean, that was, he's pretty funny. So
I mean, he's not as good as Morgan Freeman. But
no, Morgan Freeman, again, two different actors. I like comedies. You know, I like, you know, Bill Murray just going to make you laugh. I mean, I should I say he's my favorite of all time? I don't know. I don't know who my favorite of all time is.
Well, you already said he was.
I'm just saying, if you ask me right now, I think he is one of my favorites of all time. I'm trying to think who my favorite of all time is.
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
You've said it like five
times.
Okay,
fine. Okay, it's Bill Murray.
Stick to your...
Well, I am, but now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, wait, you know, you bring up Morgan Freeman. I really do like Morgan Freeman. Did you ever see the movie Seven with Morgan Freeman in it?
Crazy.
Oh.
With Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Maybe Brad Pitt's my favorite. I like Brad Pitt, too. Brad Pitt's a good actor, man. Come on, man. I'm telling you. I like Brad Pitt.
Who's your favorite actress?
My favorite actress.
Yeah. You listening, Monica?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Come on.
Julia Roberts. She's totally genuine.
She's pretty good, yeah.
She's going to be moving to Burlington, I heard.
Julia Roberts?
Yes.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, at our bar, Esox, 194 Main Street, across from the divorce court, we used to have a bicycle seat we hung on the wall that she actually sat on in one of her movies.
You're disgusting. To your sports center.
Thank you for that.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
You know the way you guys do about my head, whatever, you know? And so...
What about you?
Your ball?
It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki sitting with me, my buddy. You feeling good? You're looking good, buddy.
Happy feet today.
You do. I did notice you did a little, you know, it looked like you were doing some high knees coming in here. I was very impressed. Very, very impressed. Hey, it's week 4 of the NFL season. It's time for us to make our picks. Are you ready?
Why are you standing?
My back's killing me.
A little sore.
Yeah.
Yeah, rough night last night, man. You know, Bernie is quite a big deal.
Something
doing
like
crowd
that.
Control last night at Colchester Mount Mansfield football.
It was
crowd control.
It was a festive evening and a great game.
Yeah, with a lot of people.
Yep.
It's exciting.
Yes.
And obviously a really good game. Actually, crazy game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's pick the NFL game this week. Week 4.
Yes.
All right. Let's start here.
I'll take Green Bay on Thursday.
Tomorrow morning at 9:30 in the morning, we've got the New Orleans Saints and the Miami Dolphins. They play across the pond.
Yeah, that's an interesting game.
It is.
You know, I just think New Orleans might be finding themselves, and I think they're going to get one.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting game because, you know, the New Orleans Saints is a team, look what they did last week. You think, okay, I'm going to ride this ship for a little while, and then turn around and you look what Miami did against the Jets. They got blown out by the Jets. What is wrong with you? Jay Cutler looked like Jay Cutler. I'm going to take New Orleans. I think they're the hotter team. I'm going to take them for the win. Jacksonville travels to the Jets. Listen, the Jets have a win. They have more wins than the Giants. Giants.
That's not funny.
It isn't, but it's the truth. Anyway, so Jacksonville Jaguars heading to New Jersey to take on the New York Jets.
Hey, you know I'm all about the Jaguars and my man Leonard Fournette. I'm riding the Jags.
Yeah, the Jags are giving 5 in this game. I'm taking the Jags, too. They're hot. They're a good football team. L.A. Rams, Dave's Rams, heading to Big D to take on the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, I love what they're doing with Todd Gurley, letting him catch the ball more out of the backfield. But Dallas is just better.
Yeah,
I'm
taking
the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is Dallas. The Rams are an up-and-coming team. I think you got to love what you see out of Goff. I mean, Gurley is obviously what happened last year. Gurley's put behind him. I think it'll be a close game because I don't think Dallas's defense is that good, but I think the Dallas Cowboys get the
what
W.
I mean, they held the Giants to 3.
Well, the Giants aren't any good, though. That's why. Carolina is at the New England Patriots. We're actually going to talk to the Carolina play-by-play guy today, Mick Mixon. He's going to join us next segment. Carolina Panthers 2-1, but an interesting football team. A team that we expected to be kind of high-powered offensively has not shown that high power. They got blown out last week against New Orleans at home. They're getting ready to take the Patriots.
Yes, it's you know, they're very interesting. You know, like everyone said, they thought that they were going to bounce back and kind of explode and Cam Newton, like we've mentioned earlier, just doesn't look right, and you know, the Patriots don't lose at home unless it's to the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I'll say this. My guess is that the Carolina offense will come alive this week. New England can't stop anybody, but I think the Patriots will outscore them, but I'll take the Patriots as well. Cincinnati is at Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns looked all right last week. Football team that looks like they're on the rise. Cincinnati looks like they're going the wrong way, but they're going to Cleveland. What do you got?
Yes, you know, I mean, the hardest thing for any franchise at any point is learning how to win. And Cleveland has battled and gotten there not broken through, but they do this week against Cincinnati.
I agree with you. I think Cincinnati goes down too. Cleveland gets their first win. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. The Steelers, again, another interesting team. I think a team on paper you expect to really excel, move the football, all these superstars. Going against a Baltimore team that just looked horrible last week. Horrible. But again, it's the NFL. It's a week-to-week, and this is a big rivalry game. The Steelers go to the Ravens. Who do you got?
Yeah, Steelers do not play well on the road, and I think Baltimore can't play any worse than what they did last week. I think they bounce back and get a field goal victory, you know, down the wire like most of these rivalry games are.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. I think they're going to get the job done this week, but I think it'll be a very close game. Buffalo at Atlanta, I think a Buffalo team that's going past all expectation as well. They've been very competitive this year so far. Getting ready to take on an Atlanta team. We all know the story with the Atlanta Falcons. You know, you just kind of feel like they're going to start taking off eventually, and they're playing at home.
Yes, and they're playing pretty well, so they continue to get it done.
I agree. I take Atlanta as well. Tennessee at Houston, a Houston team that went into Foxborough and probably should have won the football game. You got to love what you've seen out of Houston's offense. They moved the ball very well. Obviously, New England's New England. They found a way to win. Tennessee, a team that I think is on the rise as well. This could be a good one.
It could be a good one. And, Tennessee's another team you can't really figure out.
Yeah.
You expected more out of them offensively, especially with Mariota. But, this is a tough one. I'm going to continue to ride Tennessee. I'll take them.
Yeah, I'm going to take them too. But I think Houston's coming. I think they're going to be a better football team. Detroit at Minnesota. Detroit started out undefeated. Tough game last week, a very close
brutal,
game,
brutal loss.
But listen, Detroit is a good football team. We know what they got as a quarterback. Their wide receivers are solid. They got a great running game. They're going to Minnesota. I think Minnesota's still a wild card. I'm not sure what Minnesota is yet. The Detroit Lions travel to Minnesota.
I'm going to take small beverage, Minnesota.
That's funny. I got a good friend from Minnesota. That's what we call her. Minnesota. Up there, yeah,
small
okay.
Beverage.
You take Minnesota, okay. I'm going to go with you on that. All right. San Francisco at Arizona. Yeah, listen, we kind of expect Arizona to have a good year. You and I kind of predict them to kind of be the comeback team of the year. We thought they'd kind of play well. San Francisco's definitely down. What do you got this week?
You know, I thought Arizona had chances against the Cowboys and just couldn't capitalize. I don't think they're right there and
right.
They're going to bounce back.
Yeah, this is me for this game. Arizona's going to win the
fair.
Game. The New York Giants. Oh, where do I start with this football team? Travels to Tampa Bay. I actually went to a Giant Tampa Bay game a couple years ago down there.
Yeah,
nice place to watch a football game. The Giants, I don't know what's going on. I mean, they showed some signs of life last week, had an opportunity to win a football game at a tough place in Philadelphia. They showed no discipline. Eli Manning played pretty good. I got to give Eli some credit. He played a good football game. The offense moved the ball. We'll talk about the Giants a little while. Tampa Bay, again, a young team that looks like they're on the right path. They're playing better football. They're playing at home. I don't know, Bernie. Big Blue heading to Tampa to take on the Bucs.
Yeah, I just don't know if Ben McAdoo knows how to win and lead a team to win. And, does he have control of this team? And
yeah.
I want them to get it done, but I just don't see it happening. It's hard to win on the road, and I think Tampa Bay's a good team, and they're going to beat them.
They're going to win. The Giants are going to win a game eventually. You know, there are some things that you saw. The thing about the Giants to me is that it looks like they're a team that if you could clean it up a little bit, they could be okay. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to say it. They're going to win. They're going to go down to Tampa Bay and win. Let's see what happens. I probably am. Philadelphia, big win. 61-yard field goal beats the Giants at the end of regulation last week. Eagles feeling pretty good about themselves, but there are some problems with that Eagles football team. They're traveling across the country to take on the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers. I keep wanting to say L.A. Clippers when I see this, but L.A. Chargers. Philadelphia Eagles travel across the country, Bernie. Take on the Bolts.
Unlike Eli Manning, his draft classmate, Phil Rivers, gets a victory.
It's going to be a high-scoring game, folks. Take the over, but take Philadelphia. They're going to get the win on the road. Oakland heads to Denver. Interesting game here. Oakland comes across, gets blown out by Washington, which no one saw coming. Denver comes across the country and gets beat by Buffalo. And Buffalo, another thing you didn't see coming, but Denver's tough at home. But Oakland, everybody thinks, is a perennial Super Bowl favorite. This is a big game this week for these teams.
Again, an interdivisional rivalry game, and the Raiders get the victory.
I'm with you at this. I think the Raiders get it done as well. I think the Raiders are a good football team. Just stubbed their toe last week against Washington. The Indianapolis Colts travel to take on Seattle. Seattle's offense actually did something last week. Their defense is playing okay. Indianapolis just is not. They're not ready. They're not there yet. But I think they're playing a little bit better. They travel way up to the rainy Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks, Burn.
Seattle rolls.
I agree with you. And then Monday night, the Washington Redskins. Hey, how about those Redskins? 2-1 taking on Kansas City, another football team that obviously opened up that huge win with the Patriots, but they haven't played great the last couple of weeks, but they're definitely a good football team. The Washington Redskins have to go to the Big Arrow to take on Kansas City. What do you got?
Andy Reid and the Chiefs get
it
done.
I agree with you. Kansas City gets it done against the Redskins from Washington. Those are our picks for week 4. Take them or leave them. Dave likes to do the Thursday game, but it's hard to pick the Thursday game until you know what happens with these games.
What, next Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, because I already had Green Bay. I'm 1-0.
Yeah, Green Bay won. Yeah, I think Green Bay is going to win this past week. I think they're going to win 35-14.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah. I don't know.
So that's the end of the segment?
That's the end of that part. You can turn that music off. That's our picks for this week.
Hey.
Anyway.
How bad are the Giants, Jeff?
They're bad, Burn. They're bad. I again, it's been a bad week for sports, for the exception of maybe the Yankees for me, but watching what the Giants
are
doing.
The way you talked about Joe Girardi, you thought the Yankees are 0-7 this week.
I know. Isn't that terrible? But that's, I'm just being real. I'm just being real. I mean, listen, I'm, you know. But anyway, we're not talking about the, you want me to stop talking about baseball? You keep saying.
Well, we got another Yankee segment coming up at 11:40.
Well, I mean, I was on that. First of all, it's not a Yankee segment. We're going to interview okay, it's a segment about the Yankees, but we're interviewing somebody that's a pretty big deal, man.
Yeah, so it's a Yankee segment.
Okay, but you're acting like I'm like overloading the show with Yankees.
Well,
stuff.
It's only going to be the 10 o'clock hour, the 10:20 hour, and the 11:40 hour. So that, so there's an hour. Okay.
Well, for the record, you keep segueing me into the Yankees.
Yeah, just,
I mean, I'm not trying to be. For the record, you said to me the first segment. You said I want to hear your take on. You just wanted me to go off on Joe Girardi,
and you did,
and I did.
And the second segment,
right? But you keep prodding
because
me
had Kurt Wright in here.
Well, that's not because I want to talk about the Red Sox too, but. You know. No. See what you're doing?
Now? Right, I see. I'm starting to see a little couple of beads of sweat on that forehead.
That's not sweat. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. 802-655-6672. Or join us, or you can send us a text on the Town Fair Tire text line, the same number, 802-655-6672.
What frustrates you more about the Giants?
Yep.
The inability to change it up on the offensive line, or the really, in my opinion, what's been killing us is our second safety play.
Yeah. I would say those are definitely on the list. I think the problem I have is the play calling, and I have a problem with the discipline on this football team. And I have another problem with maybe the sheer mentality to be able to win and what be able to win consistently. I mean,
that all stems from the head coach.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I don't want to get on a coach because listen, I'm a coach, you know, and nobody wants, you know,
what do you mean? You killed Joe Girardi, and now you're killing Ben McAdoo.
Well, Joe Girardi deserves it.
At least he's in the playoffs. Ben McAdoo's 0-3.
That's true. I agree. And listen, I'm just saying, Joe Girardi's had some opportunities here to really do something.
No, we're talking about the Giants.
Okay, well, you keep segueing me.
Well, you said you don't want to blame the coach. You know I'm passionate about this,
but you keep segueing me. You keep pulling me down that direction. You keep yanking me down that river. I'm just telling you. But
what are you two idiots doing?
When you were talking about Ben McAdoo, I mean, let's go back to Ben McAdoo. Like, it's first of all, I know it's coming before it happens.
Yes,
they're on the goal line before the half.
How is Sterling Shepard's like the first one where they reviewed?
That's the NFL. That's just NFL rules. It's crazy. That's the NFL. Well, that's why to me, I'm just we can go into what my philosophy with the NFL is later, but. But I think when it comes down to Ben McAdoo, I mean, even that play that he caught, and again, he made the catch, he took the three steps and fell down, dropped the ball, he didn't call a touchdown. But why wouldn't you get over center and at least play? If you play action, it's an easy pass. And then you go to the fourth down play where maybe you should just kick the field. It's 7-0. Kick the field goal. You didn't make it, whatever, you kick the field goal. But you go for it, fine, but you know it's coming. I mean, it's terrible. But how about this more importantly? To me, it's the undiscipline, the Odell Beckham. Of the Odell Beckham's dog thing, that
but
he
does that every.
But you can't do that on a weekly basis, and if you can't win like that. And then John Jerry grabbing the guy from running off. I mean, that costs them the football game. And then the punter, all the punter has to do, in that position, Brad Wing, is kick the ball to the end. Just kick it, just blast it. That's all you have to do. And at least you're going to go to overtime, and maybe you win in overtime. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do, and you don't do it. This team continuously, week in and week out, beats themselves every single week. And it's getting to a point where it's you're frustrated. And then the defense goes from being world-beating during that game, most of the game. Then the Giants get the lead, and they can't stop anybody anymore. Now, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that Olivier Vernon was off the field. And you can't, you know, he's an elite
all
player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when he's off the field, it's a different defense. But I don't know, Bernie. I mean, the Giants really are a dumpster fire. I mean, they really are. But the thing that you look at the Giants, and if you're going to be a guy that looks at glasses half full, is if they would just clean that garbage up, they might be an all right football team. I mean, they've been in every game. I mean, they've been in a position to win every game.
Right, and each week it's been different.
Different ways to lose.
Right, Brandon Marshall on Monday night dropping. Yeah. Key plays haven't been made to make yourself successful to win the game.
Exactly.
And that's hard. If you're not making plays, you're not going to win.
And it's disappointing.
It's easy to say, but it's the truth.
And if you're Giant ownership, are you ready to give $100 million to Odell Beckham Jr.?
Nope.
No way. I mean, no way. And I don't want to hear it. We've had Carl Banks on the show. We've had Bob Papa on the show. Yeah. We've had Patricia Train on the show. And we talk about this all the time.
But when is enough enough?
That's what I mean. Like, there's a point where you say, you know what, kiddo? Like, this isn't working. I mean, I'd trade him. I really would. If the Giants end up going 0-4, 1-6, whatever it ends up being, and the team just isn't going anywhere, I'd trade him.
I mean, because you could get a starting left tackle.
Oh, yeah.
You could get a first-round pick and something else.
I'd trade him. Why not? I mean, you got young guys in Sterling Shepard. You got a bunch of young guys. You can find some. I mean, he's become almost a detriment to what they're doing.
You know, and it's funny because early on in the game, on the third down play, he runs that little curl route. And it goes right through his hands.
Yeah.
And you're like, he never makes that play. But then he makes those two touchdown catches that
are crazy.
Nobody else can make.
He's special.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham Jr. is one of the great athletes of our time. There's no question about that. But Odell Beckham Jr. is not great. Is not a great mental athlete. He just isn't. I mean, and he's made every catch. I mean, the touchdown catches are big, and they had to have those catches, obviously. Right. But the catches he needs to make on third down.
That seem simple.
He misses those. I mean, and even the ones that are, I mean, I can think vividly of games a couple of years ago where they, you know, against the Patriots a couple of years ago where he had a catch in the end zone at MetLife Stadium, which would have iced the game, and he dropped. He dropped a huge catch in the playoff game against Green Bay this past year. He drops balls. He misses balls. And more importantly, he's all of a sudden become this. He's become this, like, he's a caricature.
Larger than life kind of.
He's a personality now. Right. And he basically tells people, like, I don't care what they say. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it. This is what I do. I mean, Odell. And you want to get paid? I don't know. And I think, again, this goes back to the problem, I think, that I have even watching the NFL now between the rules. I don't even know what a catch is, what's roughing, what isn't. Even the penalties that Eli Apple. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, they talk about taunting. So Ezekiel Elliott on every first down, you can feed the beast and point first down.
No problem.
How's that not taunting?
Well, that's right, but you know who knows? The rules are skewed. The football isn't great. I mean, you know, it's not like you're watching great fundamental football. You know, and I don't know. It's been a weird
year.
Is
the football not great because we're watching a bad team play every week?
No, but yeah, well, or that, and again,
nobody loves the Giants more than me. So
I know. Well, you know, we could talk about this. Would be a good. Maybe we'll have to hold on to this. Hey, next segment. Our buddy Mick Mixon, the play-by-play guy for the Panthers, joins us live right here on Sports Saturday. They're getting ready to play the Patriots. You're not going to want to miss this. You're going to get a good scouting report on your Panthers. We'll be right back.
Your one-stop source for sports and sports talk in the Champlain Valley. This is 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
We are Sports Saturday here.
We are awful.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Stand and cheer for the Panthers. Stand and cheer for the team. The pride of both Carolina and city of the
Welcome back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You know, Bernie, we've had the opportunity to talk to a lot of great people on this show over the years of us doing it, but I challenge anyone that one of the coolest guys we've talked to is our next guest.
No doubt.
Just a great guy, obviously a guy that's in the know here on our TikTok Jewish guest line. We have Panthers play-by-play guy Mick Mixon joins us. Good morning, Mick.
Well, if you like having me on, why are you tormenting me with
that song?
That song. I think you're doing this on purpose. This is horrid. It's just a bad chapter in the history of the Carolina Panthers.
I think our engineer here, Dave Hunter, was trying to get a brownie point, but fail, Dave. Complete fail. First of all, the Panthers have only been
free tickets.
The Panthers haven't been around that long. That song sounds like it's from like the 1940s.
Well, that song makes "Close to You" by the Carpenters sound like "Born to Run." So I would appreciate it if y'all would never play it again.
No, we will scratch
duly
that.
Duly noted.
Thank you. I'm going to write that down right now. Do not play that song again for me.
They shared a blame with me. They said you all. So
yeah,
okay. You guys are blaming.
Yeah,
all right.
All right, Mick, let's get right into this. Interesting team in this team Carolina has. Got a really disappointing year last year, but a team that I think people felt was really going to take a step forward this year and maybe get themselves back in a position to maybe compete for a world championship. But there have been some questions. You're 2-1 on the season, but what's been missing for the Panthers this season so far?
Red zone execution. We've just gotten into the red zone just slicing, dicing on down the field. And then for some reason, Jeff and Bernie, it's we get in the red zone and things have bogged down. And it's not just one unifying theme. It'd be easy if it was one thing. But we've had a blown protection. We've had Cam Newton throw wild high. We've had people zigging when they should zag. Coach Rivera's big. He has a lot of little pet expressions like all coaches do. One of them is NFL games are won with touchdowns. It makes him incredibly mad when the Panthers get, especially inside the 10, and then have to settle for a field goal. So how are we going to go to New England and win? One way will be if the Panthers can get into the red zone, will be to execute better inside the 20.
Mike Freeman from Bleacher Report wrote this week that there are actual officials in the Panthers organization that Cam Newton is starting to break down physically. What is that? Is there any truth to that?
If so, I'd like to break down in the exact same way. I mean, this guy looks like his body was sculpted in some kind of art class. He cut weight in the off season from low 260s into the 240s. He's got that little burst back. I don't think. I mean, you can say whatever you want to about Cam Newton, and it's all on the table.
Sure.
His choice of neckwear, headwear, sunglasses, suits, whatever. But I don't think that you can say that he's out there without all the physical bullets in his chamber. He's had moments where he's looked like the old Cam Newton with his ability to fake and dodge and front out or reverse out and extend the play. Now, what has been missing is his lack of reps, his shoulder. He's been inaccurate this year, and he knows that. If I could hand the phone to him, he would tell you the exact same thing. But he's not breaking down yet.
How about his main target, Kelvin Benjamin, as a wide receiver? Obviously, losing Greg Olsen is a huge loss. But how about Benjamin and his health going into the game this week?
Good question. We got some issues there because Greg Olsen, one of his favorite targets, out for another 6-7 weeks. Kelvin Benjamin dinged up knee. Center Ryan Khalil has been out with a sore neck, and so some of this offense looked like it was going to be the Harlem Globetrotters in the preseason, and we've looked a little more like the Washington Generals at times. So we got to get that tightened up, and I think Carolina will. But Benjamin was full go Thursday, and he practiced Wednesday in full pads, and he didn't take all the reps on Wednesday, but I think he's got a chance. But I've heard maybe that he won't play or won't play a lot. Do you guys have any intel up there in Vermont?
sorry, not that much. As people who are more Giant fan than Patriot fans, we're hoping he is playing because we want the best Carolina squad out there to beat the Patriots this week.
Well, I feel better now. I give you a kitchen pass for playing stand and cheer for the Panthers.
Thanks,
Mick.
Back
we
on even
that.
Par now.
How about the integration of Christian McCaffrey, just the dynamic first-round draft pick? How has he blended in with the veterans in the running back stable, and how is that all kind of meshing, and how do you see it playing out as the season progresses?
There's a love affair that's ignited all through Panther Nation, and it's the huge crush that the Panther fans have on Christian McCaffrey, and he's earned it. He's not just a little flash, hopefully a cute little, choir boy receiver that can do some things and then you never hear from him again. He's sustainably good. He's a pro's pro. He works at it. You can tell he's the son of an NFL receiver. He's got the pedigree, Stanford educated. He's a natural catcher of the football. The ball, when he's not a body catcher, he's a hand catcher. So, and the ball does not make a sound when it hits his hands. And then his ability to make decisions in space. I mean, he's been compared to Curtis Martin in terms of his ability to plot a course through the interior of a play. And then at the end of the play, he's no box of candy either. I've heard some of the DBs in practice say, man, you better diesel up when the 22 comes your way because he's not just playing around thud tempo.
We are talking to the Carolina Panthers play-by-play man, Mick Mixon, here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Mick, the Patriots are a team that obviously a lot of people think are going to be in the Super Bowl, and they may still be right, but that defense is giving up a lot of points. Is this a week that Coach Rivera feels like that the Panthers' offense can get right?
Sounds odd to say it, doesn't it, after last week was the week that we were going to get right. Reminds me of being in elementary school where you say, okay, next semester, I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to buy the book. I'm going to take notes. So sounds a little like that, but why not? I mean, Kansas City and Houston both creased New England, and KC in a win, Houston in a near win, a narrow loss last week. It looks like there are opportunities there against this defense. So I think the Panthers are thinking, go up there, shock the world, get well, get back in touch with self-confidence and with that swagger that's been missing from this offense so far this year.
How about on the other side of the ball? Obviously, the Patriots have Tom Brady and Gronk in that offense. That is just so tough. How and who is going to be the biggest matchup you think that Carolina is going to have to do on the defensive side?
Well, people sleep on their run game. I think their run game with an interesting mix of some inside and outside, some quick hitting plays, and then also some plays designed to stretch you out. I think that the Panthers would say job one would be to stop the run or at least slow it down. And then, two, it's the 87. It's Gronk. I think the Panthers will have to, because Carolina has smaller safeties. So I'm thinking maybe Shaq Thompson on Gronk some to try to keep him in check. And then I was talking to a coaching friend of mine the other day, and he said the best way to defend Tom Brady is don't do anything. Because if you try to get cute, you let the genie out of the bottle, you blitz, he'll diagnose it, and then he'll carve you to pieces. The best thing to do is to bend, don't break, just keep it in front of you, and then hope that New England's not able to drive the ball and score a touchdown on you.
Mick, last time we talked to you was the week before the Super Bowl when the Panthers were representing the NFC in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and you were really excited about that. Give us a little story. What was that like, being able to be experienced something like that in the position that you have?
Well, I was parented to be self-deprecating and with the gift of humility, so I don't like talking about myself too much. I don't have a signature call. I don't have a "there's your dagger, fade to black," you know, there's orange in the end zone, all these other things that my colleagues come up with. But so if I run my answer through that filter, I'm left with not a lot to say. I will say this though. I love music, and my wife is the lead singer in a band that I started called the Franklin Street Band. And to see Stephanie Germanotta, Lady Gaga, she didn't just sing the national anthem, she crushed it with just no pyrotechnics, no Spartacus-like bombs bursting in air, just her and a grand piano, and she killed. It's a hard song to sing, 19 semitone range, it's not that melodic, but she just killed it, and I had chills in places on my body pregame I didn't even know that I had. Then the Blue Angels fly over. You got these, I think they're F-16s. They come over in perfect formation. I mean, if I wasn't such an alpha male, I would have started crying right there in the pregame show.
Is there a time where you kind of stand up and look around and think, wow, I'm calling a Super Bowl? I mean, you know, I mean, it's got to be, I mean, for fans like Bernie, I just to give you, we'll stay transparent. Bernie and I have day jobs during the week. We do the show one day a week, and it's you know, we're fans, and that's why we have the opportunity to do the show. Just to be at a Super Bowl would be something, but to be a part of it like that has just got to be. And this isn't being self-deprecating, but did you ever get up and look around and say, "Wow, this is really neat"?
Oh, I don't know. You know, we were out there all week. You know, the Panthers. You go out a week early, about 8 days early, and there's all kind of press conference on top of press conference. And every time you turn around, you go, man, that guy looks, if I didn't know better, I'd say that was Snoop Dogg, or I'd say that looks like Kevin Costner. That looks like Oprah Winfrey, right, staying in our hotel. Well, of course, it is all them, because everybody's out there. And so, there's a little bit of just the pomp and circumstance of it all. It's kind of cool. But, you know, when you get dipped, when you go out there and lose it, you know, we're at our party. We had this 12-piece horn band, shrimp the size of bananas, every beverage you can imagine flowing, but we lost. And you never know, when are we going to get back here? You realize how hard it is to get there. So, you know, it's definitely can put a funk on you when you go and don't win.
Mick Mixon, enjoy New England this weekend. Thanks so much for the time. We'll reach out to you again down the road, buddy.
I hope so, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Right. Thanks,
see us when you can.
Thank you, Mick. Thank you so much. Interesting. See, to me,
how smooth.
Yeah, that's why he's got,
like,
yeah,
his voice and his articulation. And
he's great. But, you know, you and I are fans of sports.
Yes.
So, and we're NFL fans, and we're Major League Baseball fans, and whatever, NBA, and all that stuff, NCAA basketball.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Carmelo.
How about that?
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about.
Yes.
But just to be able to witness and be a part of something like that, I mean, you know, to be, I mean, he's part of the Panthers. I mean, that's his job. He's a play-by-play announcer. And to be able to experience that and to kind of look around and be like, wow, that is, it's just got to be amazing.
It does. You know, I mean, in a position like that, how do you not get awestruck?
You don't. And he's right about the national anthem. I mean, I remember when Whitney Houston sang the national anthem, I think it was the Giants Super Bowl in 1990.
Correct.
That's historically one of the greatest. Yeah. I mean, and you got chills at home. You can't imagine what it's like to be a part of that. And when the fighter jets come over, I mean, just to witness it has got to be unbelievable. And the Super Bowl has become, it's become larger than life anyway.
Right.
You know, be a part of something that's got to be really special.
And I don't know when I got more emotional, when Whitney was singing or Scott Norwood missed.
Oh. Wide right. That was so
good. The best
good.
Wide right ever.
I'll never forget that. You know, there's things in life that happen.
Yep.
You know exactly where you are, and I know exactly where I was.
Like, you don't know how to celebrate after.
I was so young. I was, like, in fifth grade.
But still.
No, seventh grade,
you know,
maybe.
It's like you're sitting there and you're like,
yeah.
He missed.
He missed. Oh, my God.
We won.
The best part about that is I went to a Bills game a few years ago, and I had a Giants jersey on, and this guy was just giving it to me. I just looked at him and said, hey, buddy, wide right. And he just said, here's a beer. That's all I did. It's like mic drop. That's all I got to say.
Was this the one when the wind came up and took yours away?
That is an unbelievable story as well. Oh, in Buffalo. I was at that Buffalo Patriot game when they had that big windstorm a few years ago. And literally I had a full beer in my hand. You know, just I had like one or two at the game. No big deal. And the wind took the whole thing, the whole liquid out of my cup, up and out of the stadium. It was unbelievable. It's like a hurricane. It was 85 degrees the night before. We were all hanging out in Buffalo in shorts and T-shirts. This is a week after Christmas. That was a great trip.
How's it any different than what it is today compared to
Wednesday? I know. And everyone's like, my soccer team's like, oh, I love the cold weather. I'm like, girls.
No.
And then one of my players looks at me the day after our game against Burlington and says, you know, coach, why is it all old people like warm weather? I was like, we're running tomorrow.
Beautiful.
How's that? We're running.
That is beautiful.
I said, I don't know. Ask Bernie. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking to Jason Zillow, Director of Media
Yankees.
Relations for our New York Yankees. We'll be right back.
Palmer being pressured. Bumped. Slung down. Ball loose. Ball got out of there. A Panther picks it up, rumbling down the far sideline. We will see. Thomas Davis, 15 to the 10. The 5 scores a touchdown.
Jeff Paul.
It's my quarterback.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Pitch is swung on. A high drive to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. An inside-out swing by Judge, and he hit it in the right field seats. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge. He homers to right, and the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
Here come the Yankees. Let's get behind the
Dave just can't get enough. He just he just can't get enough playing the Yankee fever over here.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Why, you know.
Because we're the New York Yankees.
You know, it must be all the Red Sox talk during the week. He's just trying to balance it out a little
bit.
He's
definitely putting the balance on. It's no question about that.
Well, come on now. You.
Listen, there is not a bigger Yankee fan than me. I will admit it. But I am also I get mad at them when they're doing foolish things. I'm not like, I just look at them and like, it's okay. Everything's fine. The Yankees, you're my favorite team. Like, it's not like that. I'm going to tell you when I think you did something wrong and I think Joe Girardi made a big mistake. That's just, I'm telling you that. That's all. But more importantly,
what are you doing at one today?
No, more importantly,
watching Stroman from Toronto help the Red Sox win the division. So all this playoff game conversation,
it's
going to
be tough today for the Yankees. There's no question. It's going to be a tough day today for the Yankees. They got to pitch, and again, you never know. But you know, Stroman's a tough pitcher. The only thing the Yankees got going for him today, because Jaime Garcia just isn't it. But the Blue Jays are done. Like they want to go home.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like they're.
So do I right now.
By the way, did you happen to hear the little thing Dave played before we came back about booing you? Like, there's Bernie Siplicki and boo. Yeah. That's not nice.
I'm used to it.
That's
not very nice.
I'm used to it, Jeff. You know, just.
You're used to it? No one boos you. You're Bernie Siplicki.
Okay.
Everybody loves Bern.
You got a sandwich.
Everybody loves Bernie Siplicki. In fact, Kurt Wright, when he called me last night, he was like, is Bernie going to be there? I'm like, oh, he goes, oh, man, I can't. I haven't seen Bernie in a while. Bernie, I go way back. We're good friend Bernie. You know Bernie? I see people come in the shop. You know Bernie? You do the drill, Bernie? Is Bernie going to be his Bernie?
Stop.
Bernie?
You're
kind of a big deal, Bernie.
No, Jeff. Not as big as the rack of ribs you had last night.
Oh, man, I had I've never been into ribs. Like, I don't know why. I just never really gotten ribs. You know? I mean, whenever I'd go out to dinner, I don't get them. And then I've been watching this show called, I think it's called Man Fire Food or Food Fire Man or something. It's this guy that travels around the country and he goes to barbecue spots and, you know. And there's this guy was in Mississippi the other day and he was having these ribs and they, oh my God, I was like. So I started.
Mouthwatering?
Oh, they were unbelievable looking.
Were you salivating more over watching that or Joe Girardi Thursday night?
So that's a different type of salivating I was doing watching Joe Girardi. I was seething watching that. Watching this, it was just like, all I saw were, you know, butterflies and birds flying over my head. It's just like, oh my God. So last night, Monica and I went to dinner and our friend Aaron, the three of us went out to dinner and I got myself a slab. I didn't realize what a slab was either. I'm like, give me a slab. It's a lot of ribs on a slab of ribs. And I also got myself some shrimp on the side because I wanted to make sure I wouldn't be hungry because I, you know, I feel like a slab of ribs, you know, how many ribs are you going to get? But that was quite a few
ribs.
Were
you full?
I was pretty full. I actually, you know, I mean, I could have probably eaten another slab probably. No question. I mean, if they're in front of me, well, because, you know, I didn't want to be a glutton. You know, I didn't want to be like, hey, send another slab over. It's kind of embarrassing. Even though my wife got two loaded baked. My wife, Monica, ate, you know, and she's no bigger than a minute. She ate this big steak.
No bigger than a minute?
Yeah, she's little. You know, she's not big. And she ate these two loaded potatoes. Like, loaded. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. She ate both of them. Couldn't believe it.
Nice, big, soft, round potatoes.
Annoying. So Monica had a great night last night. Two loaded potatoes, and Rick Pitino's going to get killed.
Yeah, that's what she thought. She was all worked up. I go, no, Monica. It's a play on words there. Unbelievable. So listen, we're waiting for Jason Zillow, and obviously we know he's busy, so if he doesn't call, he doesn't call, but we're waiting on that. But we talked a lot about the Yankees. Let's talk about the Red Sox perspective here, okay? The Red Sox are a baseball team that I think is built to win now. Very strong bullpen. Strong rotation, though, has become a problem. And Chris Sale, in particular, has not been Chris Sale the last month of the season.
Yes, I mean, a lot of problems there. Not playing well at the right time. Hopefully going to back into this division championship. The one bright spot has been David Price.
Yeah.
Getting some quality innings out of him.
And that's a weapon in the bullpen.
Yes. Yep. So that's you know, another lefty arm is so huge to have.
You know what that kind of reminds me of is that what was the year that Pedro Martinez came out of the bullpen against Cleveland in the playoffs and ended up, like, I think Cleveland was way up or they were up by three or four runs and he kind of shut the door and allowed the Red Sox to win.
Yeah.
I think it was the year that Tampa beat them in the ALCS, actually, but whatever year it was, but I'm saying that's a weapon now the Red Sox have that they didn't have going into the season.
You know, what's great is David Price, he doesn't wind up, so he really looks like a relief pitcher anyway.
And it's just, you know, the ability to not hit the ball right now.
Yeah.
You know, Eduardo Nunez.
That's
a big loss.
That was a trade when it happened that was kind of on the back burner. No one thought much of it. But he really, he's been the Red Sox. I mean, besides Benintendi through most of the season, I would say.
Devers when he got called up.
But that was like
he was a good jolt.
For a couple weeks. Yep. But Eduardo Nunez has been that guy in that lineup day in and day out that's been so consistent. He's been a force.
Yep.
And now not having him is a real problem.
Right. And that's, you know, why. It's really going to be interesting to see what happens if they lose again today and it's one. Are you pitching Sale tomorrow? Are you just holding out and waiting till the playoffs?
What would you want them to do? That's an interesting question. So let's just say it plays to that. The Yankees are one game out going into tomorrow, and do you want Chris Sale on the mound against the Houston Astros to win the game?
No, I'm waiting for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, and people will say I'm crazy. I don't even know if I'd want him to pitch against the Yankees.
655-6672 if you want to join this conversation. 802-655-6672. And again, that's the problem that you face if you're tied.
Right. Well,
for both teams.
Okay, so now if you pitch Sale on Sunday, you don't have him for the and you lose.
You don't have him for the wild card game.
You don't have him for the playoff game.
Yeah, the wild card game.
No, the tie breaking game.
No, understood. If you pitch him Sunday, you don't have him for the tie-breaking game. You don't have him for the wild card.
Right,
game.
Correct. Right. And now, okay, there's no guarantees.
Sure.
Now your season's over.
No, I know.
And if you pitch him and you win, okay, well, you still don't have him for, you know, potentially two games in the.
And then you wonder when if it all comes down to that, and I don't have the schedule from me, so I couldn't tell you days, but like, and he's not pitching well enough to think I can throw him on 3 days rest, right, or 4 days rest.
Correct.
He is definitely, and again, he's a great pitcher, and I'm sure he'll be fine. You know, but there's questions. I mean, I will say this, it all comes back to the fact that when they're not hitting, they don't have that presence in the middle of that lineup. I think it's been very disappointing. Hanley Ramirez has been disappointing this year, even though he had a big double in the ninth inning last night.
Yeah, but he also grounded into the double play with the bases loaded in the sixth.
Yeah, no, he's not having the year that I think Red Sox fans in that front office expected out of him, especially with David Ortiz, retiring.
Right.
So, but again, they're still in great shape. You know, the Yankees have to win out against a good Blue Jays team. I mean, the Blue Jays are a great baseball team, and they're playing good baseball. I mean, they kind of went into Boston, took two out of three, and they come into New York, and yesterday Tanaka was the best he's
lights
been
out
all year.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and that's a question for the Yankees as well, because Tanaka literally is like flip a coin here. You don't know what Tanaka you're getting. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, but to the Red Sox, to help the Red Sox, make a Red Sox fan feel better, at least they're playing meaningful games going into the playoffs. Because I think there's
But how does it make you feel better if you're not playing well, you're not hitting the ball, and you're losing?
No, I mean, I agree, but at least you're not, you know, you're not just moonwalking this thing into the playoffs. At least you're playing intense baseball, and you know. But I will say there seems to be a little bit of frustration out of Boston. I saw it last night. You could see the frustration.
Well,
you
just want to end it.
You just want to, yeah, you kind of want to get it done. It's so, just, it's stuff
so
that you don't
normally
see. So you
can take the collective sigh and be like, okay, what's our schedule going to be? Kind of get it set. Now you're just kind of sitting here on pins and needles going, is this going to end?
Does John Farrell lose his job if they don't do this? Let's say that they lose in the, let's say it ends up going to Sunday. Let's just be hypothetical. Let's just say they end up having to play in the wild card game and lose. Does John Farrell lose his job?
Yes. I think he loses his job if they don't go to the World Series.
Really?
I think the love affair is over.
And I think that this team is built to win. But I will say that, you know, they were really rolling the dice on a lot of these guys. You think about this team. You thought Pablo Sandoval would be a big player. He's in the minor. What's he playing for, San Francisco again? He's like the minor leagues at San Francisco.
But we got his replacement. Who was in San Francisco? Nunez.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, they got Nunez. But, you know, then the kids come up and Devers has played well. But you can see that this game is – Devers isn't – he's a good player. He's going to be a star.
Right.
But he's not – you can see why the Red Sox were so hesitant to be like, we're going to bring you up.
They're not ultimately ready. They're ready, but are they ready to make that championship-ready movement? You know, they got some experience last year.
Sure.
But they're not healthy.
No, I know. And, Betts is still, I mean, Betts played yesterday, but, that wrist was a problem for him.
And what they have to do to his bat and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, it's such a, but I will say this about baseball. You can play terrible for 1 week and think you're never going to win again. And the next week you come out and it looks like you're never going to lose again.
Well,
so,
how many times have we come in here on a Saturday where coming to that Saturday, it's a 7-game lead and then the next week it's 2.
Exactly.
And then it's back to 7.
Yeah, baseball's
so you just don't
like
know.
That. And I will say this, it looks like Houston, I watched the Houston Red Sox game last night. I watched bits and pieces, and Houston's a good team, and Cleveland's a good team. And how interesting is that, that in Major League Baseball, normally the powerhouses to be are the Yankees and the Red Sox, and this year, it's Houston and Cleveland on the American League side.
Well, and I think we said about 6 weeks ago that we both want the Red Sox and Yankees
It's not just you
for
and
the
I.
right to play.
It's not just you and I that want that either.
Television
wants that.
And, of course.
Television wants that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it would be something if the Yankees and Red Sox met in the ALCS. I don't want that, though.
Why?
Because I get too stressed out.
You're going to get stressed out no matter who they're playing.
No, but I'm more stressed out when it's against the Red Sox. I know I'm going to hear it if we don't beat them. That's the thing. See, for me, I don't want to hear it. Like, I know what it's going to be. I know what it would be like in this studio with you the day after the Red Sox knocked the Yankees out of a playoff series. Oh, my God. I would have to call out sick.
Nah.
You'd
be on assignment.
If the Yankees win, I'll be mentioning it and playing the highlight for another 30 years.
Yeah, I know you will. I know
he
you
still
will.
Is.
Yeah, Bernie. Yeah,
still
from
will.
1978. You That's played right. it again today.
I did.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
But this, we could have a new one to knock it off. Like,
there's nothing like better than the Bucky.
Ronnie
call.
Bleepin' Torres.
No,
okay. That's my call.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
well,
the Bucky Dent call is
It's iconic.
Historic.
It's iconic. Well, I'll tell you this. You know, listen, baseball, you know, people have been, and we got to take a break. I know we're past this break here, but I will say this. Baseball's been looking for some juice. Baseball's been saying that it's not been interesting. Well, if you're not interested in baseball now, you're never going to be, because it definitely has been an intriguing year. A lot of stars, a lot of firepower, a lot of excitement. And right now, it looks like the AL East is going to go down to the last week. It is. It's going down to the last week, and we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this show. We're Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN.
Upper body injury.
Getting you ready for game day.
No, I really am discombobulated.
Yeah, well, the show got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
I just got an angry text from Monica telling me that you're telling everybody that I ate two of those potatoes. I didn't finish them, she's saying. I said, wow, they look like they were pretty gone to me.
Come on, Monica. It's all right. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
We actually have more respect for you that you were able to devour those two.
Even the people that were sitting around us were like, oh, my God, that girl is going to eat those two potatoes?
Maybe she's ready for the Mungo challenge.
No. Nothing beats the Mungo. Yeah, we got to have Jan wants to do that,
I know.
Right?
Yep. We got to get that done.
Jan, I'm telling you, man. That's rough to want to do that. But we will make that happen. We'll do the show at Romanto's one weekend, and we'll have Jan come in and embarrass himself on the Cal Mungo.
No
question about that. Hey, want to give a quick shout out to Kurt Wright, Vermont State Representative. Came in, talked some baseball with Kurt, another fellow Yankee fan.
He didn't talk baseball.
No, I mean, it's always fun to talk Yankees with anybody. Kurt Wright came in, so we appreciate that. Jake Ken, our fantasy football guru, always love to get information from Jake.
And he's always full of plenty.
He is. He is. And he was on location today because he was at Toys R Us. In a tunnel, sounded like, yeah. But anyway. And then our good buddy from Panthers play-by-play announcer, Mick Mixon. Big game this weekend for the Panthers, but big game for the Patriots as well.
Let's go, Panthers.
Now, come on. First of all, if you're a Giants fan, you don't want the Panthers to win.
Don't care.
You just don't like the Pats.
No.
See, the thing about the Pats, to me, it's like the wide right thing with the Bills. It's like the Giants beat the Patriots. I don't have a problem with the Patriots.
I know. And neither do I. I just don't like it when they win.
Oh, God. Hey, yep. Guys, listen, we're Sports Saturday. We are here every Saturday from 10 to noon on Sports Saturday. We are Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Great show this week, guys. I had a lot of fun this week. I got some stuff off my chest, which is always fun.
I can't wait till next week when the Yankees lose to Minnesota in the wild card
match. That's going
to
be like.
It's going to be great.
And it's going to be bad for me. I'll tell you why. Because at the end of the day, the Yankees are going to be, if the Yankees could be out of, what are you showing me here? Oh, look at that. We're trending on Twitter. That's pretty cool. I've never been trended on anything. I'm not very trendy. But if the Yankees are out next weekend.
Not very hairy either.
No, I know that. If the Yankees are out next weekend, that means my football team stinks and my baseball team's out. That's going to be a long winter for me. When does Wahoo Wah start? I need some college basketball in my life. My Cavaliers.
Is there going to be college basketball?
Oh, my God. There better be. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. It's going to be a nice fall weekend. Go pick some apples. Go pick a pumpkin. Burn, you going to pick a pumpkin this weekend?
Nope.
Of course not. That's not Burn. You going to maybe rake the yard? All right. I'm Jeff. He's Bernie. He's Dave. We're Sports Saturday. We'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. We love you guys. We'll see you soon.